The F-35 is the biggest and most expensive weapons system in history, you might have heard. And taken by itself, the airplane's next block upgrade, valued at $6 billion, would normally qualify as a major defense acquisition system all of its own. The Government Accountability Office wants DoD to declare Block 4 of the Joint Strike Fighter as a separate acquisition program for transparency and accountability reasons. Michael Sullivan is GAO's Director for Defense Weapons Systems Acquisitions. He detailed that rationale with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, starting with a progress report on the F-35 program itself.
The program now is pretty stable in terms of both cost. There's still schedule risk in getting it to the services on time, but it's doable risk. You know, I think the program overcame most of its issues in 2010 when they declared a non-McCurdy breach. The program had more or less doubled in cost at that point. And that was pretty hard to swallow for the department, for the Congress, and everyone. But they got past that. So having admitted that it's the most expensive program in the world, it's in relatively good shape now.
And in terms of development, I mean, you note that development is largely done. Is there truly light at the end of the tunnel where most of the hard questions are answered and we can move into steady, relatively low-risk production?
What remains with the development flight testing and software development is what they call the last of the mission systems capabilities that they're putting into the aircraft now, and that's the hardest part. That's essentially the brain of the aircraft. The software and the flight testing now are testing things like fusion, data fusion, where aircraft can talk to each other and talk to the ground and things like that. They're still testing a lot of things with electronic warfare and communication, so it's not a slam dunk by any means, but they're within 20%. They don't expect an awful lot of big design changes or engineering changes to the aircraft, so the design is fairly stable. I'd say there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully they'll get there, although it is going to be tough to meet schedule.
And on the issue of concurrency, which has been raised so many times, are we largely past the bad old days when elements of the aircraft were being designed at the same time they were being produced?
Yes, I think we're past that. As we said, there's 20% of the development flight test. And then they have to go to IOT&E and test it there. And at that point, you really have no more concurrency. So in these design changes, coming out of that testing have really dwindled. So they're diminished. I think they're in pretty good shape now. But they will have purchased, I think, around 500 aircraft by the time they're done with all the testing. But most of that concurrency, they've worked through. They've got retrofits for most of the big problems ahead.
Let me turn to one of the particular issues that you guys have raised in your most recent reporting, which is the next block upgrade, Block 4, and the department's apparent plans to manage that as part of the existing program rather than breaking it off and declaring it a program of its own. You've advocated the latter. Tell us why and what are your concerns there?
We believe that they should have a business case for that Block 4, the upgrade they're planning. It's new capability. It wasn't in the baseline program. Some of the Block 4 will be used to tie up loose ends on the base program, but for the most part, it's new capabilities. Integrating more weaponry, more advanced weaponry, and a lot more capability. And most of that will be software-driven, very expensive. The department has not put a cost estimate out yet, but it does have in the Future Years Defense Plan, which is a 5 or 6 year budget outlook, they have put about $3 billion of development funding in there for this Block 4. We think that constitutes a program on its own. And there's some precedent for that on the F-22. They did the same thing with that. They tried to absorb new capability into the base program. You more or less lost track of any kind of cost growth or schedule growth, and so the accountability was lacking. We would not want to see that happen again on a new program worth $3 billion. We think that a good business case established with good baselines laid down on cost and schedule is needed to, and we need to track that program to its own baseline.
Yeah, just on the transparency and oversight front, talk a bit more, if you could, about why it matters whether this is broken off into a separate program versus staying within the existing F-35 program.
Sure. Well, if you think about the existing program, it's now a $300+ billion program. If you're starting a program in a business case to add new capability for the future, and you have a baseline from the existing program like that, you could have cost growth of billions of dollars on that program, and it would be swallowed up. It wouldn't really show up in the original baseline program because the baseline's so big. So it wouldn't be, you know, what we think is if you have a $3 billion program and you have $1 billion worth of cost growth, that should show up as a Nunn-McCurdy breach. You know, they should stop and take a look at what they're doing. And the way they're doing it now, that would not happen.
And I think the department's position on that is if you did break this off and declare it a program of its own, you're adding on additional layers of bureaucracy and applying all the strictures of the acquisition system yet again to a program that basically already exists. Are they right? Would you be trading transparency for potential cost and schedule growth?
I think it's. I think what they need to do is define why they would be. They've said that it would take it delay the program for a year, and they've given no rationale for that. So we'd like to see that. If it is just because of additional bureaucracy, well, then we would agree that something has to be done about that, because in essence, they're doing everything you need to do to start a new program. They will eventually do an independent cost estimate. They're going to have a requirements document. They're going to have a Milestone B review within the Pentagon. They're going to have a preliminary design review. All these things you do when a new program starts up. And, you know, $3 billion meets the statutory threshold for a major defense acquisition program. Everything is there that says this should be its own program. They're arguing a year delay because if it's just because of bureaucracy and paperwork, maybe that's something that they need to work on.
One of the concerns that Senator McCain has raised over and over again is the sheer size of the management structure involved in the F-35, you know, anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 people, depending on whose numbers you believe. Has GAO done any work on whether a program office of that size is reasonable, and if there's anything DOD could be doing to make it a bit, you know, leaner?
I have not done any work. Our team has not looked at anything like that. I'm in the process now of checking around to see what we've done, if we've done anything like that across GAO. And I would just say that I think it's a logical question and a reasonable question. There's, you know, thousands of people on that program. And I think Senator McCain is saying you ought to just devolve it to each service now and let them run their own variant. I think there's pros and cons to that. Right now you have one point of communication, you have contracting going through one office. I think that's a major thing is communication. When you devolve that, if you devolve that, you probably can get more efficient. But then you have issues about overlap, duplication, things like that. So it's something I think that's worth studying.
Besides anything that we've talked about so far, what are the major issues to be watching over the coming years and decades as this program continues to mature and go into development?
Well, the thing that worries us most is the affordability of the aircraft. I said earlier that they're doing a good job with cost and schedule now, and that's true. They got things right in 2010, and actually the cost estimate has actually gone down a little bit since then. That does not make it any easier to be buying aircraft at $14 billion a clip for the next 10 years. Very, very expensive. So we look at affordability. It's more than a JSF issue. If you take the top 10 programs right now that are major defense acquisition programs, they're eating up about 60% of that investment over the coming years, and this goes out. For JSF, we'll be averaging about $12 billion a year all the way out to 2040, and we just think that that's an affordability risk that eventually is going to have consequences.
Michael Sullivan is GAO's Director for Defense Weapons Systems Acquisition, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.